It's a show for women and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome to another edition of Cocktails and Conversation. It is a Friday. Glad you are with us this afternoon. It's time to visit with Maureen Moore as we get set for another great set of guests. Maureen, how is your day going?
Oh, my gosh. I love every day getting up, putting my feet to the ground, and knowing I can stand up and take off for the day. So, you know, lead, follow, or get the heck out of my way.
I love it. I love it. We've got one heck of a group of guests today. Tell us about what's coming up.
You know, we're celebrating the Women of Distinction, and it's the Women of Distinction from the Missouri Athletic Club. This is a program that started in 2011, really honoring accomplished women, and the list is quite extraordinary. I do have to say somehow I did make that in the class of 2016. There's usually six or seven women selected each year as they've been nominated and go through the process. This year we have Donna Vandiver, who is the president, CEO, and I would say also the queen of the Vandiver Group. And then the other person with us is Naja Fenoy. And Naja is the director of new opportunities at the Missouri Athletic Club. So we're going to talk about the club. We're going to talk about the Women of Distinction. We're going to talk about Donna's company of 25 years and all her great accomplishments, and really the accomplishments across the board of all the women that have been selected since 2011 to be Missouri Athletic Club Women of Distinction. So it should be a very interesting conversation today.
A great hour coming up. It's Cocktails and Conversation on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So today our guests are Donna Vandiver and Naja Fenoy. We're here talking about the Women of Distinction. We already know that the Missouri Athletic Club is a club of distinction in its own right. But to have the Women of Distinction as part of our heritage at the Missouri Athletic Club is very important. And the part about that I like about it the best, really, ladies, is the fact that you're really go-getters, you know, and that the women that have accomplished so much and have been, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I was a 2016 Woman of Distinction. You know, we've had the Women of Distinction program since 2012. Am I right, Naja?
Correct.
And, you know, then you, Donna, were this past year, like two Fridays ago.
Right.
Okay, are the flowers all gone? Have they gone away yet? Or
actually, no. We still have half of the bouquet on the table in the kitchen. So it still looks pretty good. So we're going to see how long they last.
Great.
Yeah, they were beautiful.
And your husband's still bowing to you every day?
Well, we may need to work on that one, but yeah.
We'll remind him. Because really, you know, the nice thing about Women of Distinction is that they're women who have accomplished quite a bit. They have had several successes, not just in the business and in business and in their careers, but also philanthropically and in the community. And they rise above so many people that have worked so hard. But these women are really the exception to the rule. And so, Donna, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, how did everything start? Where are you from?
Well, I actually grew up in Festus, Missouri, about 50 miles south of here. Yeah. And then ended up at Mizzou for my degree in journalism and worked at Channel 9 for a while and at the U City Schools, and then ended up at Monsanto and then came out of Monsanto and started my company. So we've got our 25th anniversary this year.
Okay. So you were there during the Joe Wiley years at Monsanto.
That's right. I know Joe.
Oh, God, I love that guy. Yeah. He and Marquita are some really close friends of ours. And man, oh, man, he had some great years there at Monsanto, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, and he's a great guy, and Marquita's terrific as well.
Yeah, that's great. And so the J School, what made you go into the School of Journalism?
Well, I started out in junior high writing for the local paper, the local daily paper in our community, and decided that I liked that, so decided I would just keep doing it or keep my hand at it, so decided to go to Great J School at Mizzou, so decided to go there to get my bachelor's degree, and then later got a master's degree at Webster in management, and came out, and PR was appealing, mostly because it paid so much more than being a reporter at the time, and so got into public relations, and then eventually founded my own firm.
And where were you when you first started in PR?
Well, I started out at the U City Schools. I actually also worked for the mall, West County Mall, as their promotions person for a few months, and then I went over to U City Schools, and then over to Channel 9, and then I started working for Monsanto, actually down in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking. I knew you spent a stint in Florida. Yeah. I just didn't know it was with Monsanto.
Right.
So how is Monsanto equate to Pensacola, Florida, and the beach? I can't figure that one out.
Well, it's a lovely community in which to work and live. There's no question mm-hmm. about that. And they had their largest plant at that time for the entire company was in Pensacola. And we were making fiber for nylon and Acrolan. So sweaters for Acrolan. Nylon was going into a whole bunch of uses and some other products as well. And so I was running all the PR internally for the plant and running a video program for the employees. And then transferred to the Krumrig plant, which is in Illinois, and worked there, and then over to corporate.
Okay.
And worked there until I decided to start my company. So
that is great. Well, see, that's funny because I bet you, Naja, did you know that they were, you know, creating the nylon down in Florida for everything that we're probably wearing?
I did not, but I just learned.
Yeah, I did too. I think that's great. That's one of the nicest parts about Cocktails and Conversations. Even though we're sitting here chatting, we always learn a few little tidbits along the way, you know? Naja, how did you get started? And where did, you know what, better than that, because Naja is the director of new opportunities at Missouri Athletic Club. And so she's here on behalf of all those women of distinction because, you know, if I'm not mistaken, we probably have right now about 30 and we can't have them all in this little studio. Jim just will not allow that. You know, I fought for it, but Jim, you know, is the one that says no. So I have to bow to him on this. But Naja, tell us a little bit about the Women of Distinction and, you know, and especially your background and what you're doing at the Missouri Athletic Club. And then I know at some point we're all going to start talking all over each other and chatting back and forth.
Yes. So the Missouri Athletic Club has honored 6 local women who've demonstrated excellence in business and in community service. So our honorees have impacted the community in many different ways, but mostly through community service, leadership in business, civic engagement, and philanthropy. So we are very, very excited to honor the 6 women 2 Fridays ago and 1 rising star, Dr. Misty Farr. So very exciting.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
I sat at our table.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
We're table mates. So I really got to know her, and she's in a pharmaceutical. And talking about her patients, she's just a really, really, really mm-hmm. dynamic lady. So,
it's funny when you say leadership because, you know, I have this, I don't know, I sent a card to someone a few years ago and she reminds me of it often that, you know, it was with Lucy from Charles Schulz that's beating Charles over the head going, and I have leadership skills. I have leadership skills. You get that? I have leadership skills. And the thing is, we all do really have some wonderful leadership skills. Mine, sometimes I have to beat people over the head to explain to them I have that, and that's why I want them to listen to me and that I'm right. But with the, you know, with the Women of Distinction, one of the things I just wanted to kind of note is some of the past recipients. You know, you've got Maxine Clark, you've got Blanche Tuhill, you know, Rhonda Hamm-Niebrigi.
Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Jackie, that's right. And Jackie actually was one of our, wasn't she a keynote at Well
mm-hmm.
as well? I was thinking Jackie was a keynote.
Yep.
I think Blanche was a keynote. Our favorite women's basketball coach from St. Louis, she was keynote last year, wasn't she? I think she was last year
yeah.
that I got to meet her.
Okay.
You know. And
well, you've also got Diane Compardo. You've got Deb Hollingsworth. I mean, it's just a
right.
really long list. As I'm very honored to be among
right.
this group.
Yeah, you are
no
among
question.
Some really wonderful
yeah.
women. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think I was kind of the schmuck that they kind of slid in by.
No.
You know, I kind of slid in there. And they're like, okay, we got to fill one more spot. Mo will do it, you know. Mo will step in. So, you know, you talk about the beginnings and then you talk about now. I would love to hear more about the Vandiver Group. And really, Donna, with that, what are some of the things now that you do that are so important to you that you felt that were really needed, especially in St. Louis?
Well, we've always thought pro bono work was important, so we've donated more than $3 million. I think it's almost $4 million now in our 25 years here in the community of pro bono work to various nonprofits. And we generally have the staff make some recommendations, mm-hmm. and then we interview the groups and then select one, and we will work with them on what they most need. So we just did, for Launch Code, we just did a messaging session with some of their folks just to help them get their messages down the way they wanted them and how to deliver them. And that's what they felt like they really needed. We've just done all sorts of things like that. And we encourage people to be involved in boards and involved in the community.
And obviously, you know, one of the things that I like about this show is that we kind of talk, too, about, you know, philanthropic, you know, issues and concerns and boards and what we all do, because it is important that we all give back. And, you know, the more that we have people that will mentor us and help us understand that, you know, both of you, who were some of the people that helped you kind of think that through? Najah, who were some, well, Jackie, you know, Coach Fenoy, you mm-hmm. know, all the Fenoy family. I mean, when you think of your family in East St. Louis being synonymous with giving back, you know, I don't know that there is a name that's even more well-known than Fenoy, you know, but tell me some of that.
You know, it was my father. So, of course, I grew up in East St. Louis and ran track, started at 6 years old, went off to Texas A&M, Prairie View A&M, and ran. And when I graduated, my father always said that it's very, very important to give back. In my opinion, when you give to others, it makes you feel good. You're satisfying something within yourself. So I attribute that mostly to my my father, the former fire chief of East St. Louis. And, of course, growing up running, of course, Coach Nino Fenoy is my uncle, Hall of Fame coach, Coach Jackie. And so my first job after my undergraduate degree was working for Jackie's Foundation. So that was a great way to give back to Boys. It was a Boys and Girls Club. Now it's just a foundation. Mm-hmm. So it's very empowering for young people as well as adults to help them become productive citizens. So my first 6 years out of undergraduate school was spent, you know, assisting and helping in social services. So it was very important, and it still is important to give back. It definitely fulfills something within me. So, yeah.
It's funny. How did you, you met my husband at a ball game one time.
Yes.
Remember that? And Mike came home. He goes, oh, my God, this Najah Fenoy, what a knockout. He goes, and she's so smart, you know. And I said, yeah, I know her from JJK, you know. And he was just bowled over by you because he's like, why didn't you ever introduce me to her before? I said, I don't know. I don't know that I have to run you around and show you everybody that I know, you know.
Yes.
But I'm trying to think. Did you do something with the Cardinals, or were you there with the Sports Commission at that time? Or
no, I was there. I was there as a fan.
Yeah.
I was there with Ed, and we were sitting around. We are avid baseball fans. Uh-huh. And if you're living in St. Louis or close to St. Louis, you better be a Cardinals fan. I said it, okay?
Najah said that.
So,
everybody honk your horn right now, you know? We will take a little sip because it is Cocktails and Conversation, so we'll take a little sip right now as we toast to the Cardinals. It's always nice, you know? And Donna, tell me, so who mentored you and who really got you into the thought process of, because to have a company that then you turn around and make sure that your employees, your staff, your partners all understand how important philanthropic work is to you, that's coming from something down deep with you.
Yeah, I think probably my grandmother, my mom, my sisters were all inspirations to me. And then I've had so many mentors over the years who have just helped me finalize and clarify what it is that I thought I wanted to do. And I think as I created my company, I really wanted to have in mind the kind of people that I wanted to work with, and how could I create a culture that would attract to us people who had the same ideas that we did, that it's important to give back in the community, it's important to be the best you can be at whatever it is you're doing, to really excel. We want to do the highest quality work we can. We want to work with our clients and really help them as best we can. And I think our clients teach us an awful lot as well. We learn a lot from them. We like to think that we're also helping them and teaching them, and we do a lot of training, presentation skills training or messaging or storytelling or whatever it might be, but we also learn a lot from every interaction that we have with other people. And the main thing is, I always tell people that you learn far more from your failures in life than your successes. So as long as no one gets hurt and you can learn from the situation, then you can, it's a lifelong learning process. How can you carry that and become better at what you do as a result of it?
So what are some of our failures? Let's see. What can you attribute some great wisdom from that's one of your failures?
Well, I think
I've never had any. No, you just know that it's something that really is like, okay, don't worry about it. We'll learn from that. And I'm thinking, I know Donna well enough to know she probably has never had a failure.
Well, I mean, I think all of us have disappointments in life, and it is important to look at what is it you can learn from what just happened. And if it makes you better in some way, sometimes we don't understand at first why things unfold the way they do. But later it might become a lot clearer to us. And I always tell people these things that are happening in our lives, they're like instruction for us if we pay attention to it. And I ask people, have you ever had the situation where something keeps coming back to you over and over? And you say, well, this happened again or this happened again. And I like to think it's because you haven't learned the lesson yet. And once you learn the lesson, perhaps that thing stops coming back to you. So we do like to look at the upside, the positive about anything that we at first may view as a failure, but it may turn out later to have been a great thing, and you just didn't recognize it at the time.
Well, now, how large is your company these days? I mean, how many people do you have on staff?
We have about a dozen people here in St. Louis. We have a person in California and one in Texas. And then we belong to PROI, which is an international organization of independently owned PR firms, supposed to be best in class in their city or area. And so we've got about 1,500 staffers we have access to. And, in fact, I'll be going to Portugal for a meeting in just a few days to meet with my other partners and figure out how we can do more business together and just how we can become better at the industry that we're in.
And you had to have the meeting in Portugal, not in St. Louis.
Well, they decide the meetings, you know, not us. Uh-huh. It's international. So this is the international meeting. We do have meetings in the U.S. as well.
It's funny. My friend Laura Herring used to always go, and we've got this meeting, and it's over in, you know, Italy. I'm like, really, Laura, you need to go to Italy for that meeting. You know, that was way before she stepped down, and now Lauren is
and
taking
Lauren
over.
Is running the company.
And
yeah.
Lauren's doing wonderfully well with the company. So, Nasha, speaking of traveling abroad, too.
Yes.
Isn't someone traveling abroad soon, you know?
Yes.
Yes. Tell me.
I leave.
Does the MAC know? Should we maybe not say anything?
Yes.
Do they just think you're calling in sick?
No, not for 3 weeks. No, yes. I leave next Friday for a language immersion. It's a study abroad in France. I will be attending Paris Victor Hugo, studying the French language. Super excited about that. So that will be a 3 week, it's about 6 hours a day. So it's really intensive, and it's language immersion. So I'll be staying with the host family. I found out who my host will be. Awesome, dynamic lady. Used to run a pharmaceutical firm.
Mm.
She is well thought of, and I am so happy to be under her and living with her. So I think she'll have a lot to teach. And she loves music, and I love music. So I'm sure we can find a cool hip French jazz spot. So
wow.
Yeah.
So, and I'm assuming she lives on the Champs-Élysées somewhere.
She lives near Champs-Élysées.
She does.
Yeah, she does. I want to say she's in the 5th arrondissement. So she's close. She's central.
Okay. And now, do you have any French background already? I mean, can you speak French besides we?
Yeah.
I can say oui. And
bonjour.
Then it's like, yeah, bonjour.
Je m'appelle Nadia Yvou.
Wow.
Comment
did you take that in college or in high school?
No,
or?
Self-taught.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You were smooth.
I have a funny story about learning French.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I decided I wanted to study French. They only offered Spanish. So they said, oh, fine. Well, when you get to the next reign, you know, when you get to college, you can take it. So I went to a junior college, and they also did not offer French. So they said, oh, well, when you get to J school at Mizzou. So I got to J school 2 years later, and they said, we can't enter J school without the foreign language credits. So I contacted my old high school, the guy who taught French in my old high school, and that summer he tutored me, you know, on my meager little wages as the summer student. He was very kind about how much he was going to require to tutor me in French. And so then I got into the School of, you know, Arts and Sciences because I couldn't get into J school. And so they gave me a test, and I actually tested out a French 1 and 2, which was good news. So I was one semester in Arts and Sciences, but I had to take conversational French. Never having really spoken it before, only had this tutor over the summer for a month or 6 weeks. And so I have to say that it gave me a new appreciation for what it's like to not understand anything that's going on around you. And everybody else is having these conversations in French, and I'm like, do I speak it a pool? I'm trying to learn it. So anyway, it was a real eye-opener for me as well that, you know, academically I nailed the test to test out of it, but I needed the conversational French. And I would love to go back to France and work some more on it because I think immersion is the way to do it. And even when I'm over there for a brief time, I start hearing it. Mm-hmm. Even though I can't really speak it, I start understanding more of it. So
right.
So I admire that. You should have a great time.
Très bien.
Yeah. Oh, listen to Avienne. Okay, for us that don't understand French.
Very good.
Very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I took 5 years of German. And 5 years of German didn't really do too much for me in high school, except that I remember very few words, but all of those were the things that Sister Pancratia would yell at the class at the same time. So I don't think those are words we can really use in conversational issues, you know? But I just want to say to everyone out there that this is Cocktails and Conversation, and we are here with Donna Vandiver of the Vandiver Group and Naja Fenoy of the Missouri Athletic Club. We're here talking about the Women of Distinction.
Thank you very much, Maureen. It is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore. We'll take a break. We'll come back with much more here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You are listening to 590 The Fan. Every morning beginning at 10, it's the Hollywood Casino Press Box with Frank Cusimano.
It's our pleasure to welcome the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, Konzo Martin. Congratulations on Mark Smith.
How's it going? He can do it all. See, for us, we'd like to have at least three ball hounds on the floor. And I think that's the one area that you watch us play a lot that we struggle with, just ball hounding and making decisions.
If it's happening in St. Louis sports, you'll hear about it on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. When all these other banks and mortgage companies are only open from 9 to 5, 5 days a week, it makes it tough. At the Home Loan Expert office, we're open 7 days a week till 10 p.m. We're here to save you money. Whether you're looking to refinance, pull out some cash, or get pre-approved for that new home purchase, we work on Saturdays and Sundays when you're available. Apply online today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, Missouri and Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee.
When you're hiring, you don't want to waste time sorting through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Ace Buy One, Get One Free sale. Don't miss great Buy One, Get One Free deals throughout the store. So many BOGOs, we can't name them all. Start the season right with savings on quality products from Scotts, Roundup, Ortho, and more. There are so many BOGOs and so many ways to save. Hurry in. The Ace Buy One, Get One Free sale ends Monday. Offers valid at participating stores. Buy select item and get designated item free. See store for details.
Even if you're a big-time basketball fan, there might be a few facts about the game you don't know. Like, did you know that the first hoops were actually peach baskets? Or that a warm basketball is bouncier than a cold one? Or that players could run as much as 4 miles during a game? Well, here's another fact you might not know that's actually really helpful if you need to buy a car. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
When things come out of left field, it can help if you have a game plan. Luckily, you can prepare with the practical insurance knowledge that Farmers Insurance has gained from more than 90 years of experience. Talk with an experienced Farmers agent today so you can decide if your coverage is ready for whatever it is that may come your way. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Discover coverage solutions and more at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back to Cocktails and Conversation. Jim Hewer with you. It is time now to turn the show back over to Maureen Moore.
So we're back again with Cocktails and Conversation with me, Maureen Moore. And my guests today are Donna Vandiver of the Vandiver Group and Naja Fenoy of the Missouri Athletic Club. We're talking about the many women of distinction, and Donna is one of our women of distinction for the MAC from this past 2018, which was just held just under 2 weeks ago with a phenomenal luncheon at the MAC honoring. What did we have in your class? We had about six in your class, didn't
six.
We?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were six in the class. Do you know, Naja, who those ladies were?
I do.
Oh, that would be awesome. Could we talk about all who those ladies were that are in Donna's class?
Yes, Laura Holt.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Stephanie Hosler, Dr. Tanya Quinn, Kathy Reamer, Stacy Taubman, Donna Vandenberg, and Dr. Misty Farr was the rising star.
You know what? And tell me about that, the rising star. That's a new, isn't that something new this year?
That is new. So it is for the younger women, you know,
okay.
just kind of coming mm-hmm. up in the ranks compared to like the 30 and the 30, the 40 and the 40. So she is a rising star. So she's coming up. Yeah, one of the younger.
That's
younger
great.
Ladies. Yeah.
I hear she's lovely. And she's got a story of her own that's just, you know, superb. So
mm-hmm.
it is funny when you think about that, Donna, because I think, oh, yeah, the 30 under 30, the 40 under 40. What are they going to do for the 50 over 50, you know? Because you know? I'm in that crew now, you know. It is funny. When I think about what you've done to this point in your careers, both of you, and you've obviously had to set goals, you know, and when you set goals, were you able to, you know, to really kind of map out, you know, a nice little map that, you know, as far as going towards their goals, or did you have any kind of blips? Mitch Myers was on here a few weeks ago, and Mitch was saying, yeah, you know, I kind of meandered a little to kind of find my way. And she goes, and I'll tell you this, you know what Mitch said? She said, I loved PR instead of accounting because the gals in PR could wear high heels and red lipstick. They looked like they were having a lot more fun than I was having being an auditor. I said, I lasted 8 days in public accounting. I understand totally. You know, but what were some of your goals always, you know, set in stone, and how did you move that through that maze to get where you are now and make those accomplishments that you're making?
Well, I think it's helpful if you do have a plan, but I think it's also helpful if you understand that you have no control over anything.
Yeah,
and
right.
So all the things that you think may happen may or may not happen. One of the things that I think is interesting, we have a couple of chapters of the Women Presidents Organization here in St. Louis, and I belong to one of those. And one of the things we've been looking at lately is, how can we give back by serving on public boards? We've all served a lot on volunteer boards, nonprofit boards, you know, and other kinds of boards, but we're finding it's not quite as easy to get on a public company board. And so how might we do that? And so I think that's one of the things that we're looking at, several mm-hmm. of us, on how we could make that next step happen. We think we have a lot to give and to give back.
So you're thinking like, say, you know, say like a Monsanto or an AB, or really, you know, really go for those boards that, you know, that retired CEOs are kind of picked for and sitting on now. That's what you're thinking?
Well, it could be mid-companies, you mm-hmm. know. It doesn't have to be a Fortune 500 necessarily, but I think we just think there's a lot of things we've learned. I mean, in my case, crisis communications, you know, messaging, reputation and image management, mm-hmm. you know, how can you help when something happens at a company to bring that back around to where the company wants it to be? How can you make sure you're communicating, you know, adequately and appropriately to your employees when something happens? And so I think that we all have different skills and different skill sets, and that's one of the things we've talked about lately, that we think we would make great board members. So that's one of the things we're looking at, as to how do you make that happen. Because in the past it was a lot about the network, and mm-hmm. frequently those were networks of men. And so now we've got more women CEOs, even at companies here in St. Louis, and how do we encourage companies to consider a wide diverse group of talent to serve on their board and not just always go to the, you know, the people they may know?
Well, I'm with you on that one, because I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, just the three of us here, we could shake things up. We could definitely shake things up in a boardroom. And you know, actually, the thing is, what people don't realize is there are so many women that are working daily. They're working in top, high visibility positions, making major decisions every day for thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And a lot of times people don't realize that they're actually even there doing it, because women have tended to always, and Donna, Naja, you know, I think that a lot of times what's happened is they've kind of flown under the radar because they constantly are trying to keep everything else moving and keep it all smooth and just get the job done, you know. And sometimes we're our own worst PR people because of the fact that we're not out there singing the, you know, our praises and others' praises. And that's kind of what this show is about, too, is really singing the praises. As we always say, women, you know, May we raise them. May we know them. May we be them. And then I say, may we praise them too. You know, because I think it's so important. What do you think about that, Naja?
Yeah, I think it's true. One of my favorite books is "Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office."
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's a great book, and you have to take a test in the beginning of the book, and then you rate yourself, and it tells you which chapter you should go to. So you speak of women often flying under the radar, head down, getting the job done. My area of improvement was marketing yourself, because it's so easy to get put your head down, do the work, do the work, do the work. But you have to market that. You have to market yourself, because you do want recognition. You do want that. It's not necessary. But I think that it's important for women to kind of, for you to put your head up, stick your head out, and be proud of what you're doing. And it took a while for me to learn that. But that's that trusting in yourself, stepping into your destiny and your realm. My degree was in finance. That's what I got my degree in. And I was one of those folks who I didn't really know what I wanted to do in college. What I did know I wanted to do was run track. And that's what my scholarship was. So as far as my major and my discipline, I really had no clue. So I had a professor, Dr. Kahn, and he had a passion for finance. And the way he taught it, and he had you could see the screens with the trading. And I was like, oh, God, I think that's what I want to do. You could
see yourself on the floor.
Yeah, I could see myself doing that. You know, get my Series 7 license. It's something I want to do. As soon as I graduated, I'm like, nope. I don't really think I want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be visible. I want to give back. And so, you know, I think trusting all you want, trusting the process, walking and stepping into your destiny, and believing in yourself and marketing yourself is very important.
And did you hit any bumps when you were aiming for each position? Did you hit any bumps and go, okay, well, I'll kind of go around this little stepping stone?
Yeah, I did. I have a few. But the end game is you getting back up and dusting yourself off. So I did have setbacks, specifically maybe about 6 years ago. And I won't speak on it, but it was eye-opening. And it forced me to look at things differently, look at work differently, look at opportunities differently. And it took about 6 months of self-reflection and articles for me to really realize, hey, you can bounce back from this. So, you know, it's important to be resilient. Mm-hmm. And again, trusting the process, trusting the process is important.
You're right. It's, you know, it's funny, like when I, everything I've done, somebody one day said, I think it was Larry Connors, that when he was interviewing me last week, he's kind of going through my resume and, you know, and I've done so many different things. I mean, I started in public accounting and ended up in sports administration and major fundraising, you know, and then to the point at Peabody Energy with the Leaders in Education program. He goes, tell me, how did you do that? I go, well, almost sounds like I couldn't keep a job and I couldn't keep my attention or my focus. I said, but you know what the thing is? I always said that everything I did, I wanted to do with 150%, like lead, follow, get the heck out of the way, and that I would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And if I couldn't enjoy it, I didn't want to do it, because, you know, you can really earn a living so many different ways. And, you know, the end game wasn't the money as much as being, you know, being happy and being able to enjoy it and be part of my family. Now, Donna, talking about families, too. You've got kids, don't you?
I do. I have a daughter, and she was in the company with us for about 10 years. And prior to that, she was in healthcare, and now she's moved on to another healthcare type position, and she's getting some good experience. And then we have a grandson. Who's just the joy of our life. He's about to turn 8, and so we spend a lot of time with him. We're very fortunate they live not far from us. So
that's great. That's great. And when she was with you, how did that work? Because I do talk, and we will have a show that'll be with women and their daughters now that are, you know, that have, you know, gone on to take over the companies or work with them. How was that, having her work with you and for you?
Well, I thought it was great. You know, one of the people I know, she's in Queens, I guess, ask about, you know, if it was competitive somehow. I don't even understand that question. How are you competitive with your own child? No, I just felt that it was fun learning from her. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of cross mentoring where we're mentoring up and down the organization. You know, you can learn from people all around you. And so I felt that she just brought a lot to the party. She's really smart, and she's got a lot of good opinions, and she's a strong, I like to think, a strong woman. So she's doing well, and she will do well. And we just try to really create that kind of atmosphere for everybody in terms of our culture in the company so that people play to their strengths and learn about a lot of other things and are resilient about what comes down the pike. And but I think it's right what Nigel was saying about women taking recognition or looking for recognition. I think generally we have not done that. And we tend to just quietly go about doing the job, and we think someone will notice.
Right.
And sometimes someone does, but sometimes they don't. And so you do have to be, I think, a little more forceful about stating your own case and having your own objectives and having your plan and making sure that you have a mentor. I always tell people, find a mentor. When people come into our organization, we assign them a mentor for the first 6 months, and then they can pick someone within the organization so they can learn different things. You know, is it going to be how to work with the media and on crisis? Is it going to be research? Is it going to be training? Is it going to be something else? So we like to get them exposed to a lot of different things. And I think especially for the generation, they don't like to be labeled, but I'll call them millennials, and you'll know who I mean by that.
They
need a lot of activity going on, and they need to feel like they're moving along probably at a faster pace than any of us ever thought was possible or that maybe is possible. But the important thing is to show them what the end game can be and that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and there's lots of things you can learn if you're patient enough to, you know, have your mind open to the things that you're being exposed to.
Oh, I agree with you, and especially with the millennials. And Naja, I don't know how much you see that, especially at the Missouri Athletic Club, because there is the younger group of members there, you know, and they're not really the millennials yet. But, you know, I look at some of these kids, and our boys are 25 and 26, so they are the millennials, and everybody thinks it's going to come fast, it's going to come quick, it's going to come easy, and you're going to get paid $100,000 to do it. And it just drives me nuts. It's like, no, you have, you know, we keep saying you've got to work hard, and you've still got to take the steps. And, you know, that doesn't mean that the quickest way to do it is walk down Market Street with a homemade sign that says, you know, that I want to earn more and I want to make more and I want to do all these things. It still comes back to discipline. And our generation and the women of our generation really have learned that it's going to take some steps, but it's keep your head in focus. You know what I mean? As long as you stay focused and know that you're doing the work that you were asked to do, I like to think that we always add that extra. We always add two or three more layers of providing and giving back and doing more because of the fact that a friend of mine said last night I was talking to, and she works for a major corporation here, and she was at the office late, and you know, and she said, God, we're the same. You know, it doesn't matter. We'll stay at the office till 8:30 if we need to, just to get everything finished. I said, yeah, because we don't shut down at 12 minutes to 5 going, oh, good, it's time to leave because at 5 o'clock I'm going somewhere to meet somebody. And isn't that true with you, Naja? I mean, I see your door at the office, you know, at the MAC. A lot of times it's open way after hours that you would ever be expected to be there.
Yeah. You know, I don't try to make it a habit, but it slowly becomes a habit. But, yeah, you put the work in, and I correlate everything back to athletics. I was an athlete most of my life. That's what I grew up as. But you have to put in the work. You have to put in the time. And as Jackie would say, there is no substitute for hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put in the time. When I grew up, we were practicing 3 times a day in the summer.
Yeah.
And during the school year, we practiced 2 times a day. I practiced at 6 a.m. Then I practiced after school. So I learned very early that there is no substitute for hard work, and you're going to have late hours sometimes. And that $100,000, as you say, is not just going to fall on your lap. It mm-hmm. will take work. It will take resilience. And I like to call it laser focus, keeping your head in the game, knowing the end game, and stay focused.
That's right. Well, you know, and Jackie, you're right, bringing up Jackie Joyner-Kersee, you know, it's funny. She'll call me at the oddest hours, at 6:30, 6:45, 7 o'clock, because she's walking, you know. And she's like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm just getting out of bed, you know. And she's already walking, and she's like, I got to get my walking because I got to do this, I got to do that. And we're talking, and all of a sudden, pretty soon, it's like, okay, now I'm out of bed. Okay, fine, I will go do this in the house. And she's already at the track walking. But she's also the one that when we go to lunch, I'll order probably always the worst thing for me, and she'll order something that's really good. And then she'll go, give me a bite of that. It's like, yeah, you want to live vicariously through me and have 2 bites of my food,
yep,
so that you can still enjoy it. then you just go ahead and eat your rabbit food the way it is, you know. But she has been disciplined and focused for so many years, you know, and she and Bobby have just made such a great team, you know, and it came from your, God love him, your uncle that started the whole thing, you know, and started the whole role. What were your specialties in track and field?
800, 1500, 3200, so half mile, mile, and 2 mile. But my scholarship
Donna,
was actually...
would you do that? I wouldn't be doing all
no,
that.
No, I mean, Laura's a triathlete and an iron distance triathlete, so mm-hmm. she's done a lot of this kind of thing, and I have to admire it. I would not do it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Lauren Herring is, too. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, my goodness, if you had, like, you know, the racetrack for the dog track, you know, with the little rabbit, you know, if they put the little filet mignon out there on the rabbit and told me to chase after it, I'd be going, no, I don't think so. I'll just go have a burger today then, you know. All that distance.
So that 3,200 is eight times around the track, by the way. And my scholarship was actually in cross country. So that's a 3.1-mile race.
Oh, my goodness.
So
did you run cross country in East St. Louis?
Okay,
I didn't know if
they... Scholarship, but track and field, of course, came along with it.
Yeah, I just didn't know if they saw you as such a long-distance runner that they made you into a cross-country athlete.
So we started in summer track, so Coach Fenoy exposes you to everything. Mm-hmm. I was doing a steeplechase at one point. So
with the
steeplechase, you know, they have the water, and so you have to run around the track, and then you're jumping over this obstacle, and you're landing in water, and you get out, and you run again, and... So you try a lot of different events, and then you excel in one. So long distance was what I excelled in. And I love cross country. You're running in sometimes golf courses. Mm-hmm. You're running in woods, open fields. It was, for me, it was therapeutic. It was something I thoroughly enjoyed. It was liberating almost. I know
it's like chariots of fire.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great, though, but you got to love it.
Oh, gosh. Well, maybe I'll cross the pastures tonight and call that cross country when I walk through our horse pastures tonight. You know? Oh, gosh. Now, Donna, how do you stay so fit? Because you look great.
Oh, well, thank you. And so do you, ladies, and our gentleman friend over here.
Yeah, Jim, how are you doing it, Jim?
Can't forget about Jim.
How do you stay so healthy and looking so good, huh? I think we should know that.
I try to run a little bit.
Do you?
Yeah, I try to run when I can. I'm not a cold weather runner, but during the summer and spring, late fall or early fall.
Are you running towards or away from something?
It's therapeutic.
I bet.
Really is. It's just where I get to think. I don't run with music. It's just quiet, and I just think in my own thoughts. So
that's
I'm a
good.
Runner.
Yeah. How far do you go?
I don't have a distance. I just make
when you get
a
tired,
certain
that's
group,
it?
And that's the amount of time I have for the day, and we'll get back to other issues.
Okay, that's good. How'd you like that, how we threw that at you?
You just threw me in there. That's
fine. Jim's
that's
a good
fine.
Guy.
Stay on your toes, Jim. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you did ask,
you
though.
Stay?
Well, I do enjoy swimming, and I really, really like that a lot. I've always liked to swim. Mm-hmm. And I do wear a tracker, like most of us, and I do try to get my 10,000 steps in every day. Some days are better than others, but I do find that I feel a lot better if I make that 10,000 steps a mm-hmm. day. And you know, Laura's done an ultra run, and you know, I can't imagine just you get up one morning, you're going to run 60 miles, and, you know, and I think, well, maybe one day we'll need that. We'll say, hey, you know, we need something at 60 miles from here, and no cars are working, so could you run over there and get that for us and bring it back? But
Laura,
you know,
we're out of milk.
It. Yeah, I do admire it in other people, so I just try to keep moving.
Yeah, well, I'm a swimmer, you know, but I'm a swimmer in the backyard because we've got the pool, so it... You know, so then it's kind of like, so that's good from May to September, you know, the rest of the time. And, you know, for a while, I would go to the Y and swim my little laps. And the worst part is I'd always be there when it was swim team practice. So I'd think, okay, I'll do the practice with the 7 and 8-year-olds, you know, and I'll swim with them. And because I felt like that was great because I could lap them, you know. I felt like, well, this is pretty good, you know. But, you know, all my years of playing tennis at SLU, unfortunately, then when I tore out my left knee playing soccer – So I just want to say again, we are here with Donna Vandiver with the Vandiver Group and Naja Fenoy with the Missouri Athletic Club. We are discussing the Women of Distinction. Donna is a 2018 member of the class of Women of Distinction for the Missouri Athletic Club and president and founder and CEO and queen of the Vandiver Group. Mm-hmm. Naja, on the other hand, is queen of the MAC and the director of new opportunities at the MAC. This is Maureen Moore, and it's Cocktails and Conversation.
Maureen, it's time to step aside. When we come back, we will wrap up this show. It's Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore. My name is Jim Hewer. We are thankful you're with us. Don't forget, the show airs every Friday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. On Saturday mornings, you can hear the replay at 11 a.m. and on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. as well. Cocktails and Conversation, only on 590 The Fan at 590thefan.com.
People have come to know Dent Nation as the premier place to take their vehicles for hail damage and paintless dent repair. But did you know they are the best at full collision work? Insurance approved, Dent Nation can get your vehicle back to you fast and back to new. Dent Nation services all models from domestic to Porsche, Audi, BMW, Land Rover, and Mercedes. They mean all makes and all models. Located at 9840 Manchester Road, they now have emergency towing service available. Call Dent Nation today.
With this job, having two hands won't cut it, which is why I thank the stars I have a third. Grainger. When my two hands are full, I fully rely on Grainger. They're America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. So, whether I'm fixing a furnace or fastening a faucet, Grainger hands me what I need when I need it, which makes me a pretty lucky guy. Because when it comes to needing an extra hand, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Napa Know How.
You can tell a lot about a person just by looking at their lawn. So if you man your own mower, Napa has select lawn and garden batteries for just $21.99 with exchange. That's right, just $21.99 to uphold your good name and show the neighbors what a quality cut really looks like. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 4/30/18.
The fine folks at Pride Electrical are on the air reminding all Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave and honorable men and women of our U.S. military who risk their lives for our way of life. Visit USO.org to send a military care package overseas today. This salute from Pride Electrical. Fully bonded, licensed, and insured. They do it all from service installs, repairs, wiring, troubleshooting, and more. Call today for a free estimate at 314-478-6343. For a job done right, on time, every time, that's Pride Electrical. Professionals who care.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor.
Do you love local craft beer? If so, you'll enjoy Kirkwood Brewhouse, where they offer 26 beers on tap and beer-themed menu items as well. Located in Green Tree Plaza off Manchester and next to our studios, Kirkwood Brewhouse is the perfect hangout for any sports fans or lemming.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back to Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. My name is Jim Hewer. Glad you are with us. Our host is Maureen Moore. Maureen, take it away.
So we're back with Cocktails and Conversation with me, Maureen Moore, here on 590 The Fan. Today we've got Donna Vandiver, the Vandiver Group, and Naja Fenoy with the Missouri Athletic Club. You know, we talked a little bit about what we've done with our families, what our families are doing, how we've, what we've accomplished, how we've set our goals, how we've met our goals, and a lot of the intricacies of what we do for work in our, respected positions. Donna, you were saying something earlier about, one of the things that you guys do, and really focus on is crisis management for your clients. You know, without telling any, major details that we'd have to put in the vault, tell me, how do you handle like a crisis issue, or what's the strategic plan behind that as you're having to help a company go through crisis management?
Well, first of all, we think it's really important that companies have a crisis plan so that it's not sort of when something happens, it's not if it happens, but when it happens. So you'd be prepared and you'd have things in writing about how you're going to approach it and who your spokespeople are going to be. We think it's important to train the spokespeople and mm-hmm. have them understand what the key messages are and how to deliver them. We think the most important thing right off the bat is to stay calm, because when something happens, and we've dealt with everything from, you know, accidents or environmental spills. We've dealt with deaths of CEOs. We've dealt with deaths of employees, explosions, train wrecks. It's been just a little bit of everything. And I think the number one thing is you have to be very calm. You have to get all the information and get it as accurately as you can and make sure that what you're about to dispense to other people is accurate and correct. We understand the media has a job to do, and they want to know what happened, and our job is to try to help facilitate that information to them so that we can let people in the community know what's going on. And then I think you just need to look at what happened, and most companies will have a process in place to look at how this happened and why it happened so they can try to avoid anything like this in the future. And we want to communicate to employees about what's being done as well. So it's your employees, your community, and your broader community about what happened and what you're doing about it.
So in doing that, you actually train their employees. You're not you don't actually go in as the spokesperson and handle that and on behalf of them. You actually train their employees to be able to handle everything. And are you still in behind the curtain helping them, you know, deal with the crisis, or are you out of the picture at that point?
Well, we most of our clients want us to stay with them through the crisis. So we, once they have hopefully been trained in advance of anything happening, so mm-hmm. they have some idea. We have little wallet cards they can pull out and look at to sort of remind them what we talked
nice.
About. Yeah,
it
I think
good,
most people tell
yeah.
us they really appreciate that mm-hmm. because, you know, it's like all reason and your entire brain can shut down when something like this happens. And, you know, it may be that you even know the people who are involved in the incident, and that makes it even harder. So sometimes the key spokespeople who we thought might be able to talk about this are simply unable to verbalize anything at all. So we tend not to want to be the people who are the spokespeople. We think it's really important for the company people to speak on behalf of the company. And so generally we will have backups and other people that we can get ready, and we'll sit there and try to go over with them the kinds of things that we think it's important for them to relay, and then just how we get through the crisis and communicating to all the audiences.
And so how have you taken that to home with Laura when she was 12 years old and said, okay, we're going to deal with this differently now, you know?
You know, frankly, she was just so easy as a child.
Yeah. She, good for you.
When I started, the company, I was based out of my home, and I was up in the second floor, and one of the bedrooms up there is where I had my office. And she would come home on the bus and just come up and sit in my one guest chair and tell me, you know, what happened today. And then when I started to hire people, I had people in the lower level. We had little, you know, walkie-talkies so we could talk to one another without running up and down the stairs. And I finally decided one day when I was having a meeting in the dining room, and Laura and Gary came home, and they're in the kitchen, and there are all these people having a meeting in the dining room, that maybe I needed to go find office space. So I started out home base, and then I moved to an office within about a couple years. But I can remember my sister and I, she's our CFO now, Amy, she was one of my first employees, and we would go out and walk around the neighborhood and sort of plot, you know, it was like Pinky in the Brain. What are we going to do? How are we going to go find business? And, you know, who are we going to contact? And we had a bread machine. We joke now, we don't have time for a bread machine, but we had a little bread machine. We'd make bread every day so that we could take a break, you know, and think again, how are we going to make this business go? And so anyway, I think it's just important to have a lot of people around you. When you're dealing with a crisis, you just need to understand how to calmly relay the messages so that everyone feels like you've got the situation in hand. And it's mm-hmm. important to find out how and why it happened so you can prevent it from happening again.
Kind of that same thing as far as if it's going to keep happening at some point, something bad, you know, sometimes it's something bad. You do learn from it so that you can avoid it and finally go on. See, remember yeah. that old adage that you talked about earlier today?
That's true.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because when you talk about the home offices now, have you ever had a home office, Naja?
Oh, when I owned my nail salon, I did.
You did?
I lived
okay.
upstairs, and the oh, salon gosh. Was downstairs.
Yeah, well, I won't let you look at my nails because I'm the one that people go, don't you go get manis and pedis? I go, when do I have time for that? You know, I'm doing good as so I'm sitting at a stoplight to go, okay, here, I'll do a little right now. But, you know, with Saddleback Chocolates, that's how we started out, was really, you know, the west wing of the house. And then, you know, at Christmas time, even this past year, with all the deliveries we had to make with all of our clients and a lot of big corporate clients, you know, the chocolate is, you know, because once it comes out of the kitchen, I still need to make sure that we've gone through all of the quality control, so everything still gets at least brought in, looked at, and everything before it all gets shipped. And you kind of look at that and you go, oh my gosh, at some point it cannot kind of like take over your entire life, you know, and you have to keep your husband from going, I'm allergic to chocolate, so I'm okay, you know, but I know. I look at your face going,
oh, wow.
I know. To own a chocolate company and then be allergic is probably the best thing, or I'd be 3 tons. I mean, it's a good thing I can't. But it's interesting when you have the home office, and I've always been privileged to be able to work from home. In every position I've ever had, I've always had time to be able to work from home and have a home office. I don't know that I could ever give that up, because but it is hard when somebody comes, to your office entrance and the dog barks. And you're on a conference call, and you're like, oh, sorry about that, and the dog sees the UPS man. Oh, my. But this has just been so enjoyable to be able to talk about, the MAC and what they have chosen to understand and recognize. Because, Jackie is the first honorary woman member of the Missouri Athletic Club, because I can remember when I was at St. Louis U, and we would go for brunch there on Sundays because one of my friends, her father belonged, and we would use his tab, to make sure we used all of his credit that we needed to spend. Mm-hmm. And we would go, and we were girls going into the Missouri Athletic Club, way before that was too acceptable, and you couldn't even be a member. And Jackie was the very first member, if I'm not mistaken.
87.
And then is that the year? And then she became like the first chairwoman of the St. Louis Sports Commission, too. I mean, Jackie's been first of so many things. We're going to, I've talked to her. She is going to be on this show, and she told me, she goes, I'll be a fill-in. I go, oh, no, you will be a banner guest, Missy. I said, none of this, I'll be a fill-in. But you think about that, how things have changed and how things have changed for women. And at the same time, how we've managed to not just keep up, but take leadership roles. And I kind of look forward to when we all can join a public board. And so if there's anyone out there that would like to join their public board, just let us know. We will give you our resumes, and we'll be glad to serve. Right, Donna?
That's right. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the MAC, I think, on behalf of all the honorees this year and in years past for our appreciation for this kind of recognition. And I should thank Mike Shadle, who nominated me. So very much appreciated.
You are very deserving.
Thank you.
Yes, and that's what I think is so great. And, as we talk about this again, the MAC started with the Women of Distinction in 2011. I'm a member of the 2016 class. And Najah is here on behalf of the Missouri Athletic Club as Director of New Opportunities and Wonderful Opportunities. And Donna is here as a member of the new 2018 class, which was a stellar class of some wonderful women. And I just want to say thank you so very much, because this has just been an honor, a pleasure. And it's so nice to be able to always kind of recognize, talk is cheap, but the next round's on me. And as we sit here and have our cocktails and then share a little Saddleback chocolates, I think we've got dark chocolate today with a little sprinkling of some sea salt. So
and it's so pretty, by the way. It's brushed in gold. You guys should see it. You have a website, I know.
Oh, yeah.
You guys should see it. I can't wait to taste it. I'm trying to be very good.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know what? And it's very hard, because when you start taking one little bite, you start to nibble and you think, well, I'll just nibble a little bit more. And,
oh, no.
And pretty soon you've nibbled it away, But we are, and you can always get more, because we're at Straub's. And
okay.
So that's really cool.
Right around
the corner
from my house.
I know. Your new place.
Yes.
Your new place. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
And we always have chocolate in our office.
Do you?
Me too.
Well, I'll have to get you a supply, because you're going to need to have Saddleback chocolates.
Yeah.
You know, and not just the infused, but just the plain milk and the plain dark are just extravagantly smooth and silky and no calories.
Ha!
Yeah, I know. Jim, would you like some chocolate?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
I had some, though.
I know.
It's very, very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Hey, ladies, thank you so very much. Jim, thanks so much for letting us throw you into the show, and thanks for everything you've done.
That will put a wrap on our show for today. Cocktails and Conversation. We will have much more for you next Friday. Show live from 2 to 3. If you miss it on Friday, you can check it out Saturday morning at 11 or Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Have a great day, everyone.